But let's first then, because I think this may be easier, kind of start with all of our exhibits, which is the presumptive in-person, presumptive virtual list that we've been, collating together for the last year or 2 years. I believe that after we met with the limited jurisdiction judges and that subcommittee recently, that we have gotten to a point where I believe all of those lists have been approved by everybody. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure anybody's going to correct me, but we went through and made modifications to a variety of them. And I thought that we got to a point of pretty much having those ready for everybody to sign off. So let me kind of just start in order of how they are in our agenda. Well, actually, first off, I'm sorry, Jamie. Let me call the meeting to order and have you call roll, if you would,
Okay.
please.
Justice Herndon.
Present.
Justice Lee. Justice Perigary.
Here.
Judge Burton. Judge Clark Newberry.
Present.
Thank you. Mike Doan. Judge Dollinger. Steve Grierson. Evie Grosnick.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Hill. Darren Imlay.
Here.
Thank you. Chris Lawley. Alicia LaRude.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Leung. Chris Long.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Mathis.
Here.
Thank you. Leslie Nino Pirro.
Present.
Thank you. Jennifer Noble.
Here.
Thank you. Jonathan Norman.
Here.
Thank you. Professor Regalia, Judge Saragossa, Judge Sullivan, Judge Tyrus, Judge Terrell.
Here.
Okay. We do have a quorum, sir.
Jamie, you didn't call me, but I'm present.
I think you skipped Tiara.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. Sorry, Judge Jones.
It's
I have
okay.
you down there.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. And I don't think we have anybody from looking at the screen. From the standpoint of members of the public that may have joined us that could want to comment. But if there's anybody that I'm missing on here that's from the public and wanted to engage in public comment, please speak now.
Justice, I'm not a member of the commission, but of the committee, but I'm here, Steve Bishop Mealy.
Oh, thank you. I think we have some several people that are on subcommittees and or guests that are present, but not members that are either judges or attorneys. So, but I saw your name on there, Steve. Thank you.
Doug, I think I see Marshall Willick on as well. Marshall, are you there?
I am. I'm not actually a member of the underlying committee.
Right.
And a couple of the people that you mentioned have retired and I think should probably be deleted from the committee membership accordingly, which might alter your quorum a little bit. There's very few, Justice Lee and I were discussing, there's almost nobody left from the original subcommittee. We had a very small meeting a few weeks ago.
We need to get somebody from Family Court appointed to take over for Judge Burton, who retired. I thought we had asked them to give us the name of somebody and we never heard back.
Actually, the current presiding judge volunteered and received a message that no further members were being accepted at the moment, but he is standing by and is willing to serve in her capacity.
Okay.
That's right. Judge Gibson.
We still have a quorum, though, so we'll go ahead and move forward then. First off, we have approval of our prior meeting minutes from August 30th. So if everybody's had a chance to review those, is there anybody that wants to make a motion to approve those minutes?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, who moved?
Oh.
Oh, Patty, thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody have a second?
I'll second.
All right, well, thank you. All those in favor of the approval of the minutes, say aye.
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 Anybody
opposed? Okay, those will be approved, Jamie. And then let's jump down to five now instead of the preamble. Five is the section that deals with all the subcommittee reports. And let's start with tab A under that, that dealt with the civil cases. We had gone through recently, I believe, and made some modifications to that, removed some of the things that were more appropriately in family court lists, and some things that were more appropriately in the criminal lists. But I think that that left us, Ron, with a list of presumptive person, presumptive virtual that had been agreed upon by everybody. So
yes, and I think under tab three, if you look at exhibit A, Jamie, that should be all the corrected for the corrections that we made, right?
Yes, this reflects the corrections and the conversation during the last meeting on August 30th. The only thing we need to solidify is the status conferences, trial readiness. We talked about choosing one or the other, but we never actually chose one or the other. Okay. We got sidelined talking about removing some other things.
And that was a this. I thought we were doing those presumptive virtual, the status conferences.
Yeah, I thought we had settled on in-person settlement conferences presumptively,
yes,
and status conferences presumptively virtual. And
we had talked about it, but there was no, there was conversation back and forth, but there was no consensus on it. Then we got sidetracked talking about another topic.
Judge Clark.
Well, sorry. I thought when we were talking about settlement conferences, what the note is was what we were going to recommend is that the judicial officer at the time of the setting with input from the parties would make a determination, because there's certain types of settlement conferences that are more successful virtually and other types that are more successful in person, and it's a case by case.
That was my recollection as well.
Yeah. But as to status conferences, trial readiness, those were presumed to be virtual.
Okay. Okay, is there anybody else on here from the civil subcommittee that had any thoughts on those two things? Okay, so then let's do that, Jamie. We'll leave their settlement conferences with the judicial determination, and we'll pencil in status conference trial readiness as presumptively virtual.
Okay, I got it.
All right. And then was there anything else, Ron or Tara or anybody else on civil?
No, I think that's it. I think we're in pretty good shape. We got rid of all those matters that didn't belong under the civil exhibit.
Okay. All right. Then on tab B, the criminal cases, or excuse me, it's tab four, but it's exhibit B, the criminal case presumptive list. We went ahead and expanded that back out from the way it was when the subcommittee originally pushed it out, just so that we could eliminate all the comments, because when we compressed it, the comments were what was, you know, dictating a guilty plea arraignment versus a general arraignment. And I think it's best just to have it expanded back out so that there is the ability to box those in, because none of the comments were going to be forwarded or moved forward. That was just all the commission's work when we were making comments about certain things. We want the list, obviously, to just go out showing people what's presumptively virtual and what's presumptively in person. So we went ahead and made those changes at the very end. And I think this is my fault. We when we cut out the civil stuff that referenced criminal things, we pasted it in here. And that was kind of a non-exhaustive list, I think. Justice Hardesty had come up with last year when the civil subcommittee was meeting and talking about various things. That doesn't really apply because it's all those last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things are subsumed in other parts of the criminal list, and or they're limited jurisdiction things like preliminary hearings and things like that. So we're going to cut that out of there. So you don't need to worry about that. But is there anybody that has any questions about any of the criminal case lists? Terrific. Okay. Tab five is our family case lists. We recently made some revisions to that as well with input from Judge Dollinger. among other folks. And I think the one thing that I noticed on it, Jamie, is my recollection was that we settled upon adoptions being presumptively virtual.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I don't remember that being the case, but I thought we were just going to leave it up to the judicial discretion.
I think that the input we were getting was that there are oftentimes people that want to come to court because they want to celebrate that process. But for the most part, you have people, you know, in various areas that are working, whatever it may be, and would just like to be able to have that presumption that they can appear virtually and have that signed off on, as opposed to having to come down to the court. That's what I recall Paige talking about. But if anybody has a different recollection, please jump in. Or maybe even Audrey. I don't remember who all it was talking about that. But I remember.
Yeah, it was a lot of me, sorry, talking last time.
Okay.
And you're exactly right. There are certain families that do think of it as a celebration. They want to come down, they want to take pictures with the judge and stuff like that. But I think having it presumptively virtual so that they have that option is the best way to go. And then the judges can just ask the parents, the adoptive parents, what their preference is.
Well, and remember, when things are presumptively virtual, you can just show up in court, right? That's the whole idea of judges should always be in the courtroom. Not mandatory that judges have to be in the courtroom, but judges should be in the courtroom, in part because we want the public and litigants to always have the right to show up in person if they want to be there engaging with the court when their case is going to be heard. So you don't even need to notify the court if you're going to show up in person on something. It's really only if it's presumptively in person and you want to convert it to virtual that we need people to be notifying the court to make sure that there's kind of an awareness of what's happening. All right, so Jamie, let's move that into the presumptively virtual category.
Okay.
And then the other things, all those changes in there, I think are reflective of the issues that we discussed last time in trying to, and Audrey or anybody else, I mean, I know we were going through a lot of fine-lining that, so if you have noticed anything on that list that you think doesn't reflect what was decided upon, then please jump in.
I think we got everything. Everything's been marked the way we discussed last time.
Perfect. Okay. Limited jurisdiction. That's under tab 6.
The controversial one.
Go ahead.
This one was a labor of love, I think. Well, we finally thanked Doug for sitting in on our last meeting, and we were able to at least check the box on all of these with the understanding that, you know, some of the judges in some of the more rural areas who may be covering other judges that are 2 hours outside of their radius, you know, a radius of 2 hours or more, and they're covering, that they can always, you know, make exceptions and allow people to appear, even the judge to appear virtually in the situation. So I think with that understanding, everyone was okay with what we did here. And I don't know if there's anyone else here from the limited jurisdiction.
Well, Steve, I know Judge Bishop is here, even though he wasn't a member, but he was part of the subcommittee. I think, right, Judge Bishop, you were part of the subcommittee last year.
Yes.
And Judge Tyrus and Melissa and Judge Leung. And I know Judge Matthews had some input when we were talking about these things as well. So my sense is that this reflects the changes that we made. You're right, Justice Lee, that we had significant conversations during that meeting about the nature of presumptions versus mandatory things and the off-ramps for judges to be able to kind of make accommodations based on their particular issues that arise in their jurisdiction, in their caseloads, and down to particular attorneys. right, that may have issues, whether it's, you know, somebody that lives 200 miles away and has trouble getting to court or has a health issue, whatever it may be, in addition to the issues that the judges face in terms of more geographically spread out jurisdictions. So the presumptions are just presumptions, but I think last time Judge Bishop is the one that says, I know when I'm beaten, so I'll stop fighting. But so I'll just ask, though, does the exhibit that we produced, does that kind of concur with what you understood the recommendations were going to be?
Yes.
Okay, terrific. Anybody else have anything they wanted to raise on the limited jurisdiction case list?
The only concern I had at this point was the judges should be present in the courtroom for any
proceeding. Well, that's the preamble thing.
Right. Are we going to come back to that?
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. We're just going through the case list because I wanted to make sure we get all those done before we lose any of our quorum. And Lori, I didn't know if you were talking to somebody in your chambers or you were trying to talk and were just muted.
No, somebody needed me in my chambers. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Then my sense would be to ask the commission at this time, Jamie, to vote to move the four case type lists forward. We can divide them up and vote on them individually. And we'll just start with the civil case list, okay?
Do you want to do a roll call vote or a general consensus vote?
I'm just going to, unless it seems like we have some dispute, then we can go back to a roll call, but I'm just going to do a normal one first. So we're going to vote on moving forward the civil case presumptive case list for our membership. All those in favor of moving that forward, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Great.
Justice, I'm not opposed, but I just wanted to point out a typo on the list.
No, thank you. What do you got?
On the civil list, Exhibit A, if you go to the second page, it still has specialty court hearings, competency review, delinquency review, detention review, and those are all over on criminal.
Yes, thank you. Take those four out of there. Specialty court hearings, Jamie, competency review, delinquency, and detention.
Okay, got it.
All right, moving to the criminal case list. All of our members in favor of moving that forward, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Thank you. On our family case presumption list, all of our members in favor of moving that forward, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Thank you. And lastly, on our limited jurisdiction case type list, all those in favor of moving it forward, please say aye.
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 Aye. Anybody opposed? Terrific. All right. Okay, let's go back to the preamble. And Judge Bishop, yeah, you can go ahead and speak to that. And I will tell you that when we originally started that, I think, Justice Hardesty's idea was that that should be a mandatory thing. And we kind of talked about it a little bit and softened it to a judges should be in the courtroom. And then I know Judge Clark Newberry raised at one point the idea of always being in there. And I think we took the always out of one part and left it in the other part of it.
The only concern I had is as long as should isn't mandatory, as long as it's just like, I forget what the word was, suggestive. Right. I think we should be here as much as possible. Like today we had a prelim scheduled with a judge from Eureka, and it turned out it was just we're going to waive it, and she'd have had to come over for that. That had to have been 140 miles of mileage plus drive time and all of that for a hearing that was could have been handled remotely. So as long as it's just suggestive as opposed to mandatory, I can live with it.
I'm not sure it's suggestive, but I think, there's going to be exceptions, and that's within your discretion. If you need to cover something and there's a cause and a reason, that's not going to be an issue. But I think once you start saying it's suggestive, then it has no, you know, that's bothersome. And I know Justice Hardesty would have come out of his skin if we were to say this was suggestive, because
I don't have a problem. And I don't know what you think of this, Ron. I don't have a problem if we remove, I've been going through this in my head since we first talked about it and decided to leave it in, where it says judicial officers should always be present in the courtroom for any court proceeding. I don't have a problem if we move always. I mean, I don't, it doesn't change it in my mind. The idea is that judicial officers should be in the courtroom because the public has the right to come to the courtroom on any case. That is not mandatory, and that, in my mind, it still accounts for the idea that there are going to be occasions in everyday life where a judge can't be in court but still wants to do their calendar or a particular case, whatever it may be. Or we don't have somebody to help them for whatever reason may be. We don't have a senior judge. We don't have a buddy to cover Steve's calendar one day, whatever it may be. So that off-ramp is always available, Judge Bishop. And I don't recall, Judge Clark Newberry, what the objection to always was, but I don't think it changes anything really to remove it. So I'm fine.
I think it was just kind of what Judge Bishop was indicating, is that when you have those exigent circumstances, the term always doesn't really allow for it. Okay. And certainly if we all amongst the committee agree that there are exigent circumstances or unique factors, like for the judges in Elko or Ely, where they need someone to remote in from Las Vegas to cover them, because oftentimes we have seniors that are based here and it could be the morning of, and yes, Justice Cherry can cover the calendar, but he needs to do it remotely. Would this term of always prevent that type of coverage from happening? And so I think it's more of a concern. And certainly if I hadn't been participating in this and I saw that in the rules, I would interpret it as judges shall always be present in the courtroom means you can't appear remotely under any circumstance. And that's, I think, the only reason for the word always to come out, is because it certainly gets the intention of saying judicial officers should be present in the courtroom for any court proceeding, but it doesn't leave that exception foreclosed.
Okay.
And I agree with that.
Okay. All right, so let's remove the always in that second paragraph, Jamie.
Got it.
The thing that
goes along with where we had removed it as to the public, because the public should have the ability to attend court proceedings, but not always. There are certain ones where we don't permit it.
Right. The last always.
I wanted to interject something, if I could, Justice.
Sure.
And that is, at our various NJLJ meetings, it's just a real concern about the weekend pretrial custody hearings, that's not going to be a hang up, because especially with the number of the rules, and I think Steve and Lori, you had concerns, but there were other judges that it is not always going to be possible to be in the courtroom to do those.
Right.
But I think we have an out there, because it says these don't conflict with the other laws, and the law specifically says bail hearings can be done remotely. So I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, our recommendations, yeah, both from a district court and a limited jurisdiction standpoint, are presumptively virtual for things that would include bail hearings. So I don't think there's going to be any conflict with that at all.
Do the presumptions apply to the judges as well as the parties and the attorneys, or does it just apply to the parties and the attorneys?
Well, no, what I mean is, to the extent you're saying, you know what, we get that judges should be in the courtroom all the time, but we're having a problem covering a weekend calendar, because the nature of what would be on the weekend is presumptively virtual. I think if the judge says I'm doing it virtual because we've got a problem with covering it in person, I don't think there's going to be any problem with that, because everybody else is going to be virtual anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be one thing if it was like, hey, I got a trouble getting to court on Friday and everybody's present to do a trial with evidentiary issues. That's a little different from a general standpoint. But I think the weekend issue, because the nature of the hearings that would be occurring are presumptively virtual, is that shouldn't be an issue at all.
I think getting rid of the always softens it enough. Just the always, any, and should was pretty strong.
Okay.
So I can live with it.
Okay.
Because I don't have a choice if I couldn't, but.
Okay. All right. Did anybody have any other thoughts they wanted to bring out in regard to any of the other aspects of the preamble that we made the revisions to over the course of the last couple of meetings?
I have a typo on page 2.
Okay.
Under attendance, a subparagraph B says prior to the hearing date, it will be necessary for participants to access to. I think that 2 is a typo.
Oh, access the approval for participants to access. Okay. You see that, Jamie?
I do.
Okay. We'll take that word 2 out there. Did you have anything else, Tara?
No, sir.
Okay. A couple other people started to speak, and I didn't catch who it was.
Yeah, Justice, this is Jonathan Norman with Legal Providers. You know, you had mentioned when we were on one of the tabs that the courts are going to be open and people should always be able to come in person, right?
Right.
Are they going to need to file a notice? Like if we have pro se litigants who the hearing is presumptively virtual, are they going to need to file that notice if they're going to come in person, or are they just going to be able to come in person regardless of whether it's presumptively virtual or in person?
They do not need to file a notice to show up in person.
Okay.
That's the whole point of the public and litigants always have the right, and attorneys, to show up in person for court proceedings because the court is always open. The idea of the notice is in when you want to change an in-person appearance to a virtual appearance, if it's presumptively in person, and there is, let's say you have a guilty plea agreement, and two criminal attorneys say, hey, you know, my client's out of town and can't travel right now, but we want to get this done. They're presumptively in person. Are you okay if we do this virtually? Sure, let's contact the court, kind of thing. But if the court has a general not guilty plea arraignment, and the defendant and his attorney want to come to court for whatever the reason may be, just to kind of have FaceTime with the judge, or maybe there's something else they want to chat about, then obviously they have the right to just come in the door.
Okay. I was just, when I read the page 1 to page 2, it makes it seem like if you're going to deviate, you must, you know, you should file this notice within 48 hours or as soon as practicable, which makes it seem like if you're deviating, you should file a notice. Whereas we only want notices filed if you're deviating from presumptively in person.
Got it. I see what you're talking about.
Right. The way it's written right now, it would seem that if you want to show up in person, you have to give notice. The way it's written right now.
Justice, Nevada Supreme Court Rule 4, is that going to be included in our recommendation to be amended as to, I believe it's subparagraph 5, notice by party?
Yeah. I don't know that. I know we talked about that last time. That we should be able to do that without too much consternation, right, Ron?
Yeah.
But I don't know that I want to put in here that we're going to do that because...
No, I just think there are certain judges that until that rule changes in language, we can make all these recommendations and it's not...
Right.
It's not going to change.
I get it. But yes, that is the idea, right? Once we get all this done, to then go in and try and change that as well. So maybe Jonathan, in the remote virtual hearing procedures part at the bottom of page 1, and this shouldn't really just be directed at Jonathan, but if everybody agrees with what we've been discussing, that the idea is that presumptively in person, or if something's presumptively virtual, you don't need to file a notice to show up in person, then maybe on page 1 in that paragraph, we should just change that by eliminating the words virtual or, so that it would read, should any party wish to deviate from the presumptively in-person hearing format as outlined in the attached case type list, please refer to the following procedure.
I think that fixes it.
Okay. All right. Did you have anything else, Jonathan?
No, thank you, Justice.
Okay. Who else had started to speak on issues with the preamble?
Just one thing, Justice Herndon. With the addition of no provision of these rules to be construed to conflict with the existing Supreme Court rules or with Nevada revised statute, do we need to add a sentence in that, so to the extent they are in conflict, that the rules and statutes will dictate or prevail?
Well, I think they always prevail. The things that are enacted as Nevada law are going to prevail over any kind of guidelines that we come up with. I don't know that we need to put something in there about that, particularly since Ron's going to get that Supreme Court rule changed.
I think our discussion on amending Rule 4 was in one of the prior committee meeting minutes.
It was, but what to Patty's point, do you think we need something in here?
No. Or
to me, it's just kind of always going to be implicit that Nevada law is going to dictate over any kind of guidelines or recommendations that we make.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and maybe Judge Jones, you know, my understanding is that the 8th is moving away from Blue Jeans. Did they find an alternative provider?
We haven't agreed on an alternative provider, but we are looking into our options because, yeah, Blue Jeans is being discontinued as of 2024 by Verizon.
Oh, wow.
So is that going to be like a January 1, 2024, you're going to be on a new platform?
I hope so, but I haven't been 100% updated on the status. I do know in talking to IT, they were looking into our options, and I passed on to them that all of our partners were on Zoom,
right,
but I have not been in the conversation as to which option we are choosing.
Okay.
But yeah. I will follow
up. I know you told me that before, that there were several platforms they were looking at. I was just hopeful that you guys weren't going to wing out on Spirit Airlines or something for your platform while the rest of us are flying Southwest. None of those are great options. Nobody's getting Air Dubai here. We're all getting kind of things that don't always work the way they're supposed to. But at least if you guys go to Zoom, we'll all kind of be consistently handling the same thing.
And that was
hey, my, Judge, this is Mike Doan. Can you hear me?
Oh, hey, there's Mike Doan.
How are you?
Hey, good. Sorry, I was I'm monitoring the call on the side, but yeah. We've narrowed it down to Zoom is in the lead so far. We've been through a lot, but ran into brick walls along the way. So it's probably where we're going, but it's not finalized yet.
So is it and I don't mean to put you on the spot, when you run into, because we've run into brick walls with the appellate court system as well. Are you running into brick walls from a budget standpoint or just finding something that's compatible with everything you need to do?
That's compatible. And one of the issues we have is because we speak, we communicate with the jail systems, you know, across, you know, either it's Metro or Henderson and things like that. And there's a certain type of technology that they use in those locations. Polycom units is a kind of a general name for it. But most of these platforms do not communicate with those type of systems. And we haven't tested it all out with Zoom, but they actually sell a connector piece, you know, a virtual piece that makes those work.
Got it. So is Blue Jeans just kind of outdated at this point, or just we're not renewing and we're going to try and do something?
No, they bought them and they're just closing the doors. They're just taking it away. It's not going to exist.
Huh. Wow. Okay.
They bought it for $400 million and shortly thereafter, they're just discontinuing it. It's not going to be available.
Well, they got to have some kind of end game, right?
I couldn't figure it out either. Because they're not offering up a substitution that we can pay for, so I can't figure it out either.
So are they just going to close down shop, or is it just going to go the way of my BlackBerry, where there's just no longer any kind of software updates and you can't use it?
No, they're literally turning it off.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting. And our current date, I think, is the end of February, is what they said our kind of drop dead date.
Okay. Terrific. Hey, I'm glad you're here, Mike. It's good to talk to you. You're terrific. I appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you, too.
Okay. Anybody else had any kind of additions or comments on any of our preamble? Okay, then with those couple of changes to those two paragraphs, removing the always and then removing the virtual presumptive part of the remote virtual hearing procedures paragraph, I think we're good, Jamie, to go ahead and vote on our preamble as well.
Okay.
So to all of our members, everybody in favor of moving forward the preamble with the revisions we've discussed today, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Terrific. All right, I think we're good then. So what we can do, Jamie, is we can go ahead. I don't know that we need to have another meeting. We can go ahead and clean up everything and have clean copies and distribute it all out to the membership. And then just kind of figure out what, if anything, we need to do moving forward to get this put in place so that we can start having it applied statewide. So it may be that we need to have another meeting, folks, towards the end of October. And if so, Jamie will reach out and get scheduling options for everybody. But my sense would probably be that we don't need to, hopefully. Hopefully, maybe, no. In the meantime, Ron's going to get on the amendment to the Supreme Court.
Well, what I think we'll do for the sake of continuity and putting this all together in a nice, tidy little package, Jamie will get a report generated that will circulate, correct?
Mm-hmm. I will.
And then we need an order. And I don't know if you work with Elizabeth on those or if you just put together an order that the Supreme Court is approving the recommendations of this commission. And then at that time, if you can go back and cobble together the discussion on amending Rule 4, Supreme Court Rule 4, we'll present that to the court all at the same time.
Okay.
Justice Herndon, I'm happy to make a revision to Rule 4 based on those discussions and send a red line to you.
Okay. Well, that would be terrific. Thank you very much.
Good. No problem.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, look, to everybody that is either a member and or has joined us consistently as a guest and or participated in subcommittees, you have my many, many thanks. When we started this a couple of years ago, I kind of viewed it like I generally view jury trials, where how the hell are you going to get 12 people to agree on anything, but somehow you get 12 people to agree most often, right? Same thing with the commission. I knew that we were going to have a lot of interesting conversations because of everybody's wisdom and experience. But to get us to the point where we are now with being able to move all this forward is terrific. And I thank everybody for your participation and your humility and your willingness to kind of noodle this a lot so that we could come up with the recommendations that we're coming up with. I think it's terrific. And I know that everybody's worked very hard on it. So thank you. And hopefully we'll get to have another meeting. I get to see you again. All right. And with that, we will go ahead and close our meeting and adjourn at about 10 to 3, Jamie.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.